episode number 33 of the Mitch and Nils Bull Show. My name is Mitch, the man talking to me right here in studio. Jay Nils, what's up, Nils?
Go MJ, it's your Nils Day. We gonna party like it's your Nils Day.
Welcome to the Bulls Show. You're looking at the Chicago Bulls from a fan perspective. We're not experts, we're not insiders, we're not journalists, but we are two guys that love talking about the Chicago Bulls.
Follow us on Twitter at the Bulls Show and make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes.
In this week's episode, we're gonna be talking to Bulls insider Agri Sam about things going on with the Bulls, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah injury stuff. It should be a pretty cool interview. I will say there were a little bit of technical difficulties with the interview. He's breaking up a little bit. Nothing we can do about that with our ghetto setup, but you know, you'll get the point. It'll be all right. You'll be able to understand what's going on.
Yeah, hopefully you'll still be able to understand a lot of the insight and updates that he's provided us, you know, with the what I'm calling the D-Rama.
Yeah, D-Rama is definitely, in fact, obviously, guys, you know, everybody, if you listen to this podcast, you know what's going on. Derrick Rose kind of, I don't even know how to qualify it or phrase it, but there's some talk about him playing this season, maybe not playing this season. I don't know.
So we'll get the latest from Agri on that front. We're actually recording this on Sunday, as I implied in my intro. MJ's birthday.
And
last night was All-Star Saturday night.
All-Star Saturday night. What did you think about it?
Well, I've already joked around amongst ourselves and our friends that it was a bit of like the 2013 Los Angeles Lakers of All-Star Saturday nights. So good on paper, yet a terrible disappointment.
I need to get that Nick Cannon suit in my life. That's what I need to go to. I need the orange pants. I need the pink shirt. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it just really disappointed, especially with the main event, which being the dunk contest. How would you improve the dunk contest?
I mean, I think if people just would have made their dunks, it would have been better. I mean, I think they had a good lineup. I think they were creative dunks. I think they kind of, you know, balanced between, you know, too many props and not enough props. I thought it was good. It's just guys didn't execute.
Yeah. Your boy, James White, don't believe the hype.
Yeah.
A little overrated, huh?
You know, he's 30. You know, maybe he's a couple years past his dunking prime. But shout out to Terrence Ross. Shout out to Kyrie Irving. That was a pretty, you know, fun three-point contest.
Yeah, he did his Craig Hodges impersonation.
Yeah. He looked like he was going to hit, like, everyone in a row. I mean, it was crazy. It was
Uncle
crazy.
Uncle Drew.
Yeah. So we're going to get to the Sam, Agri Sam interview in a second. Thank you guys for listening to Bulls Show. All right. Without further ado, here is Bulls insider Agri Sam. Agri, what is going on, buddy?
Not much. How's it going, guys?
Not bad. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So, you know, before we dive into things, what we like to do whenever we have guests on is just, you know, learn a little bit about their background. So we'll actually start by asking you, you know, did you grow up as a Bulls fan, and how'd you get your start covering the team?
I grew up in Washington, D.C., so I can't say I was a Bulls fan. I mean, obviously everybody loved Michael Jordan and everything, but to be honest with you, I wasn't a Jordan fan until his the second part of his career, after his retirement. I like the Bulls Pistons. I'm not ashamed to say, but I know that's not a popular thing in Chicago.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, I wasn't a huge Michael fan, but when he came back and he was a little bit more mortal, I think I was more appreciative of his talents. I actually was a really big Scottie Pippen fan growing up, though. You know, just he could do everything, and I liked the way that he was such a passionate guy and a, you know, point forward. Like, you know, my dream was always to be, you know, 6'8" and able to run the point. But, you know, I really love Scottie's versatility. As far as how I came to cover the team, I've been covering basketball for years now. I graduated from Temple University. I've written for a number of publications, most notably probably Slam Magazine. Senior writer for this job. I was in before I moved to Chicago. I was freelancing for a number of local and national publications. The job came open, and here we are now.
So, who's currently your favorite Bull to cover, if you had to pick a favorite?
Oh, man. I mean, Derrick obviously is a great guy to cover. I mean, it's a little bit different now than it was when I first started. There wasn't national attention and everything else, but still a great guy to cover. One-on-one, he's the best. Kaj Gibson actually is a guy that I really enjoy covering, too. I mean, I missed Genuine Answers. Lou, I think, is a guy that I really enjoy covering also. It's because he's so thoughtful most of the time. Lou's a guy that I really enjoy covering as well. Of course, Joe King, you never know what he's going to say. So he's an interesting guy to cover, especially with his background. Thing with Lou, I mean, that's such unique backgrounds that the perspective is a little bit different than most players. But I mean, you know, I mean, even going back to when the bench mob was here and everything, just to cover. I mean, it's very unique in the NBA when you have such a close team, and there's definitely an atmosphere where it feels more like a college team than an NBA team as far as guys hanging out together and really enjoying each other's company.
So it sounds like we got a pretty mixed bag of a roster in terms of personalities.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Nate Robinson probably stands out from the group of newcomers. I mean, he talks a lot of minutes and when he plays, so he's an interesting guy to cover. Marco Bellinelli, he's also a pretty cool guy to cover. Not necessarily, on the record, but off the record, talk to at all. Same thing with Najee Muhammad. Rip is a great guy off the record. And none of them are bad on the record, but, sometimes they open up to you a little bit more behind the scenes.
I see. Well, it's been a pretty eventful week for this Bulls team. I'd even call it turbulent, with the latest Derrick Rose updates. The USA Today article was released late Tuesday with Derrick indicating he doesn't mind missing a year. Then he spoke to reporters, including yourself, on Wednesday after the Bulls lost to the Celtics, saying he doesn't mind missing the year. In the USA Today article, he said he could miss a year. The first things first, what's the latest? Has there been anything new on the Derrick Rose front?
Not really. I mean, obviously, it's All-Star weekend, so, you have guys all over the place. A lot of players on vacation, coaches don't really have too much responsibility. Working out better than everything. I was a general down there in Houston. As much as, the story in New York City and talking to the media after the Boston game really got a lot of attention and everything, nothing has really changed. This is still, I sound like Chip saying this, but, it's still, everything is everything. They're still just moving forward. He's continuing to rehab and everything. The only difference is it was actually stated that, there's a possibility, probably more than even the media suspected, of him missing the season if he doesn't feel, up to snuff. I really always believed this decision was going to be in Derrick's hands just because of his comfort level and mentally and physically. So, to me, nothing has changed except the fact that he talked, and the fact that the possibility is more out there and he's sharing his opinion. Don't get me wrong, I understand the significance of whether he could fit the ball and everything, but again, if you think to the summertime when people were even dealing with just a player, maybe they could sneak into the eighth spot. I mean, barring any unforeseen health situations, I think they've proven that they they're solidified playoff team and weak Eastern Conference. That's better than they expected. So, I mean, it would be great if Derrick could come back for the fans, for the team. In my opinion, also to kind of get over that first mental hurdle. So next season, there's not so much of a buildup. But if he doesn't, I mean, it still can't be looked at as a bad season for the Bulls overall, just probably a championship contending season.
Right. So are you saying then with Derrick finally breaking his silence and speaking to the media, you weren't shocked by any of these updates?
No, I mean, again, probably more surprised that, he verbalized, the cautious approach that he's been taking. But I think it's a good thing. I mean, if he doesn't come back this season, he never said anything about it, or if he had been more positive about it, then people would have been disappointed.
Right.
Now, if he didn't rule out certainly not playing this year, but now if he does come back, I think it's more of a pleasant surprise. Fans can be a little bit more excited about it, thinking there's a possibility that he can come, instead of just this whole crazy up about how many minutes will he play, how many points will he score, will he look the same.
All right, Agri. So with all that said, if I were to go to Vegas and I want to bet on whether Derrick Rose plays this year or doesn't play this year, what would you advise me?
Well, I'm not a gambling man myself, but I'd say, you know, don't put too much money on it either way. But it's tough, you know, to put odds on it 50-50. It's just going to be about, you know, how he continues to progress and, you know, what point in the season the Bulls are at. I don't think it's going to be a situation where, you know, April 10th or something towards the end of the regular season, all of a sudden he's back in the lineup. I think they'd want him to get, you know, at least a month or so, maybe even 3 weeks at minimum. I don't know where they feel comfortable under his belt before going into the playoffs. I don't think you want to have him back on the court right before the playoffs because everyone knows the intensity picks up. And, you know, even just from a chemistry standpoint with his new teammates, you know, guys that he isn't used to playing with, you'd want him to have some practice time as well.
Now, do you put any stock to the theory that, you know, the Bulls might be holding him out just because we can't win a championship this year? We're not as good of a team as years past, and we can't defeat that juggernaut in Miami with the way LeBron's playing?
No, I don't think so. I think that obviously they didn't go into this season, you know, with the highest of expectations. I mean, Gar Foreman went on the record and said, you know, they might take a step back this year, but I don't think it's a situation where there's some kind of conspiracy and, mm-hmm. you know, they definitely want to keep him out to make sure that, you know, they're not getting past the, well, they, I shouldn't say keep him out to make sure they're not getting past the luxury tax, but, you know, they don't, I don't think that that's a factor, you know. And obviously the Bulls, while they're very involved, you know, people talking about his agency, people talking about Adidas and everything else, the decision still rests with Derek. And mm-hmm. none of those parties wants to alienate him. So as much as they might try to, you know, convince him, hey, it's not smart to play, this is a guy that, you know, he's so pure of heart when it comes to basketball. I don't think anyone wants to get on his bad side. I mean, knowing his competitive nature, but also knowing his maturity, if he feels like he can get back on that court, you know, at some point, I think nobody's going to, you know, really present a significant obstacle other than the doctors if they don't clear him. Obviously, right, he has to right. be cleared before he's back on the court.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of been a position or an argument that some Bulls fans have been floating around, that there's no point in bringing him back because of how well Miami's playing. And I personally think that's a bit of a bad argument just because Miami's not going anywhere anytime soon. So if you're afraid of not bringing – or if you're afraid of Miami Heat and that's your reason for not bringing Derrick Rose back, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me, especially if he's 100% healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you told Derek, if somebody made that case to Derek, he would probably come back earlier than expected.
Right.
He's not a guy that's afraid of Miami. I don't think his teammates are either. I mean, this season, you know, the only game they played against the Heat so far, you know, they won in Miami. You know, you look at the last couple of years, I mean, you can think back to the game where John Lucas stole the show, or, you know, C.J. Watson, when Derek was really struggling, first game back from a long stint being out from injury, Watson kind of stepped up and performed his play. I mean, now Derek, this is a team that beat Miami through the regular season. And while we know the playoffs are different, I know that the holdovers, and they have a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth from 2 years ago losing the conference finals, and then last year not getting the opportunity for a rematch in the conference finals. So I don't think that's something that really holds a lot of water.
Well, speaking of this year's team, you spoke a little bit about the luxury tax. Do you see the Bulls making any type of major moves before the trade deadline, or do you expect to see this team?
I expect to see this team. I mean, I wouldn't be completely shocked if something did happen. Obviously, the report of you know, Carlos Boozer being traded to Toronto, you know, made its rounds, and you know, I do believe that deal is still on the table if the Raptors wanted to pursue it. But I've been given no indication that they're interested in that. Obviously, after picking up Rudy Gay, they added a lot of money to their payroll. I'm not so sure they'd be willing to add another, you know, max contract type of guy, and, you know, it not being the Raptors not being a real contender even with those two guys. I think they'd be a playoff team, but not necessarily, you know, a big force. So outside of, you know, Carlos, if somebody was really interested in, you know, absorbing that contract, I can't see anything significant happening. I know I've even written about this in the past. Rip Hamilton, you know, if they had any tickets for him. But I don't see him out of most of December. I don't really see anybody taking that gamble. He hasn't been playing great recently, even with that expiring contract. So, you know, I don't see the Bulls really making any significant moves. Eric Beck, and while that might not happen right at the trade deadline, you know, you still want to make sure you have a stable roster for if and when he does return.
Now, that, looking at that move specifically, the Bargnani for Boozer move, do you think the Bulls are making that move from a financial perspective, a basketball perspective, or a little bit of both?
Down the line, it could be envisioned as a move to create more flexibility. I know Andrea Bargnani's contract, it's less than Carlos was now, but also has an extra year if he opted in, which I would assume he would do just because he wouldn't command as much money on the open market. But at the same time, I mean, they signed Taj Gibson to, you know, new extension at the beginning of the season. And if you said Carlos, I do think Carlos has been, you know, talk to fans and everything else. Taj paying that amount of money, it's way to kind of slide Taj into the starting lineup or something in the future, you know, maybe. But, yeah, I mean, for the here and now, it's definitely something you would look at as, you know, a move for that benefits them financially and not so much on the basketball court, especially with the style of play that the Bulls have.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the intent just to trim payroll, just because, you know, even though Bargnani was a 2006 number one draft pick overall, you know, he hasn't really been playing that well, and his perceived strength is being able to extend the range and knock down the three-point shot and spread the floor. But, you know, you look at his percentages, especially this year, and they're pretty below average. So it'd be, at least to me, pretty disappointing if we were to make this deal, and it would be pretty suspect on the Bulls' part if it's just for financial reasons.
I'll see it happening again, but at the same time, I mean, he definitely is having a rough season. I will say that his percentages for, and I'm not going to absolve him for this season. I mean, he's had injuries and stuff, but in the past, I mean, since Chris Bosh left at least, you know, he's been kind of the Raptors' number one option, and he's probably better suited to being, you know, third, fourth option offensively.
I see. Okay. Well, you know, looking ahead, we talked about, you know, Derrick Rose possibly making his return this season. No significant deadlines. What do you see then with this current Bulls roster? What is their ceiling, and what would you predict their seeding would be come playoff time?
I mean, that middle, I shouldn't even say middle pack of the East, but it, to me, it's Miami and everyone else right now. And I put the Bulls in that group, you know, pretty strongly with the Knicks, Pacers, Nets, you know, for those 2 through 5 seeds. If I had to guess, if the Bulls are healthy to end this season, if, you know, Joe, you know, his foot holds up okay, Lou with his various aches and pains, you know, Carlos, Rip, everyone else, Kirk especially, you know, just to give some more depth to the point guard position, I'd see them hosting a first-round series, you know, maybe not the 2 seed, but, you know, I think they could be a 3 or 4 seed. I think it would be important to me in that a 3 seed simply because you would be able to avoid Miami in that second round and give them a little bit more of a chance to get to the conference finals. But it's pretty munched up when you look at the standings right now. I'm not so sure the Nets hold up in the second half of the season, so I could see them, again, you know, getting to that 4 seed at least.
And your prediction for this Bulls ceiling, that's based on the assumption of Derrick Rose coming back healthy or just his current team as we see it?
Oh, the current team. Okay. That's not even with Derek. I mean, I just think that, you know, with this All-Star break, they definitely needed a rest, you know. Mm-hmm. And if guys can stay healthy, I do believe that the defense will hold up the second half of the season. And, again, I think getting Kirk back is going to be pretty important, too. I'm glad he's taking his time with that elbow injury. But, yeah, I could see them, you know, hosting a home court series in the first round this year.
Speaking of injuries and injuries outside of Derrick Rose, I guess Tom Thibodeau is coming under, I guess you would say, light criticism for the minutes that, you know, Luol Deng and Joakim Noah are playing when they are somewhat healthy. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm going to share a story with you guys from somebody who knows far better than me about this type of stuff, Mike Fratello. During the, I'm sure you guys have probably seen my unfortunate attempts at doing post game interviews after some Bulls games. So they have me sitting on the floor in certain arenas, arenas where, you know, the writers usually sit upstairs or something. And in Cleveland earlier this season, when Mike Fratello used to coach the Cavs still as a home, I was seated next to him. We had some friends in common, so we got to talking during the game. He actually pointed to a big stack. Not that he's a guy that's against advanced stats, but he said about 8 years ago, when advanced stats, you know, started to become more in vogue and everything, people started looking more at, you know, PER per 36 minutes, stuff like that. And, you know, you can make the case for certain guys that don't get as much playing time. If they were playing more minutes, you know, they'd be averaging more numbers. So when you look at, you know, let's say a Taj, or Jimmy Butler's probably a better example. He backs up Lou, doesn't play a whole lot. You know, you could say that, okay, if Jimmy was playing more minutes, he'd be a lot more productive. Lou wouldn't be as susceptible to injury, et cetera. But before advanced stats, there was never any talk of that stuff, according to Mike Fratello. There was never any talk of that stuff. You know, Larry Bird, he played big minutes in the preseason 1 year when Mike was just starting out against Atlanta. And, you know, he went to, I think it was Casey Jones was coaching the Celtics at the time. After the game, he was like, why'd you play Bird so many minutes? You know, he ended up killing me and stuff. And the answer from the Celtics coach was, you know, he's going to be doing it during the season. He might as well get used to it now. So if you're telling a story about, you know, the preseason, I understand this was in the 80s and everything, a guy like Larry Bird, who had a lot of injuries in his career, back injuries and everything else, playing such heavy minutes, I don't think there should be a big difference in how people regard Lou and Joe as young players, you know, early, not early in their careers, but, you know, in the prime of their careers, playing heavy minutes. I think Tibbs, you know, sometimes he does stick with guys a little bit too long on the court. You know, you can see them getting tired, but on a game-to-game basis, if they train for this stuff, and I know Lou does, and Joe certainly started doing that this offseason, you know, I think it's only right to reward them with those minutes if they put the work into it. And to be honest, you can't really argue with the results. I mean, Lou's had arguably the best stretches of his career, you know, under Tibbs. Those have been to one of the NBA's top echelon centers. So, I mean, there's not really much I can say negative about it.
You brought up definitely a lot of good points. You touched a little bit on Joakim Noah. We know that he's been battling plantar fasciitis. He's obviously making his first career All-Star appearance later today. What's the latest on Joakim and his health? And do you just see him toughing it out the rest of the season?
I do see him toughing it out. I mean, it's a situation. We all know that he dealt with plantar fasciitis in his other foot back in the 2009-10 season. And, you know, that was definitely a situation where the Bulls were, you know, pretty concerned and everything else. But Joe being a little bit older now, he at least knows the extent of the injury. He knows, you know, probably the best way to deal with it himself, you know, how to manage the pain and everything. And being the competitor that he is, I think he'll be on the court, you know, unless it flares up, it gets worse somehow, you know, as much as he can for the rest of the season. It will be tough as far as practicing because he can't really stay off that foot and still practice. And obviously, if you're off the foot, conditioning will a little bit, so that kind of goes back to the minutes thing. Also, not having, you know, a dominant backup like Omer Sheik, you know, that's a little bit tough too. But, you know, I think Joe will just have to do the best that he can. I mean, it comes down to that. I don't see him, you know, deciding to sit out, you know, multiple games or anything like that unless it gets worse. I know he had the PRP therapy treatment the other day. So we'll just have to see what happens.
All right. Well, you know, I think that that covered a lot in quite a short amount of time. Agri, we appreciate you coming on. Appreciate
not
all the updates and insight. We look forward to the rest of the season, providing you us with all the latest Bulls news and notes. If you aren't already, you should be following Agri at CSN Bulls Insider. Make sure you check out all his reports on Comcast Sportsnet. And, of course, check him out on the sideline. We appreciate all the work that you do. And I think you're doing pretty good job doing these post-game interviews, so keep it up.
Yeah, you guys are kind. I think you and my mom are the only people that believe that, but I appreciate it, though.
Agri, one more thing, man. I know Nate Robinson has a bunch of shoes, so if you see any laying around, I'm gonna shoot you my address, man. I can use something. I need a step.
You know, Nate's a pretty fast guy, and he's a pretty strong guy. You know, I haven't played in the NFL, and I know he's small, so I definitely wouldn't want to be chased down and tackled by a 5'9" guy. So I think I'm gonna skip that one.
Thanks again to Agri Sam for coming on the Bull Show, dropping some knowledge. Yeah, it was a pretty good interview. Really excited to talk
to him. We have him on later on in the season.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll try to clean up the sound quality next time. But anyway, takeaways from the interview, Nils.
You know, I mean, I guess it was still an update of Doom, if you will. Maybe a little too realistic. I was kind of hoping for him to be a little more optimistic with the Derrick Rose updates, because one thing that I feel like we didn't really touch too much on is just really understanding and translating some of Derek's comments earlier in this week. Because when you really look at them in its entirety, he doesn't really say much. You know, with the interview from USA Today, as well as when he was speaking to reporters, you know, there were certain parts of that interview extracted and posted. And I mentioned them earlier, you know, with him saying, I could miss the year, and I don't mind missing the year. Well, if you take that out of context, yeah, that sounds pretty dramatic and pretty defeating if you're a Bulls fan. But, you know, he also said, I could return next week. I could return next month. I mean, it was basically based on a series of contingencies.
Yeah, it was.
He wasn't really saying anything definitive.
Yeah, I agree with you that it might have been taken out of context a little bit. Definitely some of our Twitter followers have expressed that to us. I just don't know. I think that Derek is better off playing that quiet warrior role, you know, the guy who's just in the gym working out, just waiting to come back. And when he talks, you know, obviously because everybody's so excited to hear him come back.
Right.
Everybody's so excited. They're hanging on every word. Mm-hmm. And you'll have things, you know, taken out of context, taken out of place.
He's basically, what you're saying is he's not Barack Obama.
Yeah, he's not Barack Obama.
Eloquent speaker.
Yeah, but that even happens to Barack Obama. You know, Barack Obama will give a speech, and, you know, thousands of pundits will tear it apart, and, you know, you'll see whole, you know, presidential campaigns run on, you know, quote-unquote missteps, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just think that I think he does himself better if he just doesn't say anything, which is kind of, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how realistic that is.
Yeah.
He is the face of the Bulls. He is expected to speak and keep everyone updated.
It's a tough job for him because on one side, you know, he runs the risk of seeming, and this is kind of stupid, and I don't believe this, but seeming almost selfish. You know, is he coming back 100% trying to get back, or is he over-cautious? I think people are going to start looking at that, and that's not fair. That's not fair, but people are going to start looking at that.
You know, it's tough to say. I mean, I hate to side and quote LeBron James here, but, you know, he was asked during All-Star Weekend about Derek's status and, you know, the impending return. And LeBron actually hit the nail on the head. He said, you know, this is Derek's career. You know, he's kind of free to do whatever he wants. I mean, at the end of the day, it's his life here.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really mind him saying, you know, yeah, you know, I might play this year, I might not. And again, I think that's still taken out of context a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when you, again, read all of his quotes in its entirety, he says he doesn't mind missing this year, but then in the same breath, he's saying, well, that's why I'm working so hard to get back on the court.
Yeah. If I'm his publicist, and I'm definitely not his publicist, I tell him to say, listen, I'm working as hard as I can to get back, and I can't wait to, you know. And obviously that wouldn't be as fun to talk about. You know, we wouldn't be here talking about it. But, you know, and that's what you saw, I think, for 95% of his rehab was quotes like that. And that's what the whole return advertising campaign was based off of. But, you know, we will see. It's interesting to talk about. I'm sure that we will be talking about it in later podcasts. But
yeah, you know, one thing I also wanted to touch on, you know, with Agri Sam mentioning how there wasn't really anything new. You know, you look at the latest or the quotes from, you know, this past entire season of from Tibbs and from the front office, nothing that Derek said contradicted any of what they said in the past. You know?
Except for Dunkgate.
Yeah, you're basically just calling Jimmy Butler a liar.
I'm not calling Jimmy Butler a liar. I don't know who's a liar, but Jimmy Butler basically said that, you know, you know, Derek is dunking again, and then Derek comes out, you know, in that interview and says he hasn't dunked yet. So that's the only weird thing. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I guess another weird thing to me is you hear Tibbs repeatedly say he's right on schedule, he's right on schedule. What schedule is he on? Because right now there really isn't a timetable, right? I mean, there's no set return date.
Well, for us, there's not. You know, right. Who knows? You know, they could have a timetable, you know, in between the, you know, inner circle. We're just not privy to that.
Right, right. Well, let me wrap up the show with this question to you, and it's basically the same question you asked Agri. Is D Rose coming back this season?
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Really?
What's
that founded on?
You know, it's not founded on anything, really. You know, it's a bullshit opinion. I don't really have any basis. I'm not a doctor, so definitely don't go out
You're
there.
You're also struggling right now.
Yeah, I'm also highly hungover and possibly drunk from last night. But
this is just coming out now in, what, like minute 48, 49 of the podcast?
Yeah.
That Mitch is a trooper. Today, bright and early, Sunday morning, despite his condition, his flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, it's not a flu, people.
Still powered through and conducted the interview. So props to you, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did it.
I don't know how I did it. I don't know. The better question is why I did it. But anyway, you know, I don't know. But I think from his tone, it sounds like I would just guess that he would. And I really don't have, like, concrete evidence. Yeah. I can't debate this point with you. Mm-hmm. That's just a hunch to me. I don't know.
It'd be really, really weird if he doesn't come back this season. Because when you look back, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that if he does come back towards the tail end of the season, there's no point, especially like Agri said, when the intensity of the playoffs ramp up. But you look at, again, we're no doctors, but the typical recovery time of an ACL tear is 8 to 12 months. And we're, I think, approaching almost 11 months now. And I know that bodies and injuries, or I should say, bodies react differently to injuries. But you'd assume that he's almost 100% healthy at this point.
But he says he isn't.
But it'd be really strange. I mean, again, what contradicts all of this evidence, he says he's not healthy, yet in the USA Today article, he said he's 100% healed. He said that there's been no setbacks. So it's just very strange. There's a lot of conflicting pieces of evidence, I guess I'm trying to say. And if he's not back, you know, I guess maybe he is really experiencing setback. And in my opinion, if he's 100% healthy, there's no further risk. He's been medically cleared. There's no further risk of him aggravating an injury or tearing the ACL again. You got to get back on the court. You know, the last hurdle in this recovery process is mental, and you don't regain confidence in an injury or an injured body part like his knee by sitting out 18 months.
What do you
gain it by getting back on the bike, you know, playing in games, even if it's just for 10 to 15 minutes?
Now, it's funny. I was tormenting and terrorizing my girlfriend yesterday. We were watching the D-League All-Star game. Which is really bad.
So one of 20 people in
the
country?
Yeah, there were like 15 people in the stands. But anyway, if the Bulls had a D-League team, if they own a D-League team, would you like to see Derrick Rose maybe play for that team?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It was brought up by Steve Ashburn. I'm probably butchering his last name.
Yeah.
He frequently writes for NBA.com. He actually threw that idea out there. And I think that would be a genius idea. You know, you've got to get the dude reps in the gym. Again, this is all based on the assumption he is physically capable of playing and medically cleared. Like I said, you don't regain trust and build confidence on a injured knee by sitting out. You need that in-game experience. And like Tibbs said, you know, you can't simulate a game. You know, he's about to get onto 5-on-5 practices. But still, you know, you're not going to have that confidence until you're actually playing in a sanctioned NBA game.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the Bulls are, you know, looking at a tough road going forward. They definitely could use Derek, but it does not look like he's going to come in the immediate future. So how do you see this team going forward in the next, you know, 10, 15 games out the gates?
Well, like Agri said, this is a much-needed All-Star break. The Bulls entering the All-Star break losing 5 of the last 7. three of the last four. Definitely downward trending. I think that they recover. I think that they get back to who they are in terms of really projecting that defensive identity, being able to slow teams down, because we haven't really seen that in the past couple weeks. It's all going to hinge on everyone's health. You know, you got Heinrich, you got Joe. Boozer still, you know, showing flashes of a lingering hamstring issue. I still see them as a top three seed.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Even without Derrick Rose.
Even without Derrick Rose, I agree. All right, I think we are done. Thanks to Agri Sam again. We will be back next week with another episode of The Bull Show.
And probably celebrating Joakim Noah's All-Star Game MVP.
Yeah, I say he puts up at least five threes today. Peace.
All right, see you next week.